Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 655. It's the 5th of December, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Neil Ritson, chairman of Solo Oil. That's S-O-L-O, Solo. It gives an update on their operations, including the spudding of the Notoria 2 well in Tanzania. Also on the podcast, Joe Wiley, CEO of Amrit Pharma, AMYT, covers today's transformational license agreement and progress with their other assets. Plus, I also have Faisal Rahmatalla, chairman of Plastics Capital, covering the highlights of their interim results for the 6 months, which were released today. And don't forget, it's a Monday, so Malky's on the podcast as well, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talking about Victoria Oil and Gas and Hurricane Energy. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours, and also the top five most liked RNSs released this morning.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ritson, chairman of Solo Oil, ticker Solo. Neil, thank you for coming back on.
Good morning, Justin. Good to speak to you.
Yes, well, do you know what? Since our last chat together, I've noticed interest building in Solo Oil. I mean, there's a lot more things. After I mention them on Vox or on social media, there's more likes, there's more retweets. Are you sensing this, that is more interest generally around the stock at the moment?
Yeah, there's more liquidity in the stock and more people are paying attention. I think that's to be expected with a very important well coming up by the end of the year. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll get into that in a bit. But first and foremost, for people not aware of Solo, can you take us through what the business is all about, please, Neil?
Yeah, we're a portfolio investment company. We don't operate anything. We invest in other people's projects and then closely manage those through relationships and adding technical value to the projects. We're exposed to a couple of important things in Tanzania and a couple of things in the UK, plus we've got seed investments elsewhere.
Okay, and today's announcement is pretty much centered around the Tanzanian investment. So take us through what you're doing in Tanzania, why it's getting exciting.
Okay, the first thing is that we produce gas from a field called Kilwani North. Both our ventures in Tanzania are in partnership with Aminex, and that gas production has been on stream since April. And now we're getting regular payments from the government for the gas that we're providing. So that's a nice, stable income generation for the company. And then the second thing, which was the main driver for today's announcement, is the spud of the well, Notoria 2, the first appraisal on our discovery of gas condensate onshore in the Rovuma Basin, is imminent. So that's where the real excitement is. 55 TCF of gas discovered offshore in Tanzania. We've made a discovery in the same play fairway onshore, and now we're moving to the appraisal of that.
Marvelous stuff. And so, like I said, normally you expect to see a lot more excitement and interest in a stock closing towards spud, but that's all on track to happen, like you say, mid-December. And some other bits of your investments, I know you hold a stake in Horse Hill.
Yeah, we do, and that things are moving there as well. We announced that we're in the planning process for a long-term test. There's absolutely no reason why that planning won't be granted. It's just a continuation of the program that we completed earlier this year. We need longer term flow rates to establish the right development to carry out there. So that's quite exciting. That's going to come up also in the first quarter, along with testing of this Notoria well and probably a further Notoria appraisal, which we've prepared for. So lots going on, lots of news flow over the next couple of months.
Yeah, and when, how long does it take, Neil, drilling? I'm no expert at this, but how long does the drill take and when will you start getting back results from that?
Okay, the drilling kick off mid-December. We expect the results by the end of January. It's about a 45-day well that we're planning there. if the results are encouraging, which we're very confident they will be, this is appraisal, we're not out there wildcatting here. We're a kilometre and a half from an existing discovery, and we have seismic confirming the play. So we would expect to test that in February. That's this kind of time frame.
And what, as in results of expectations, what are you expecting?
We're expecting a thicker pay. We see that on seismic away from the first well. The sands seem to thicken. But more importantly, or equally importantly, we're going up dip. So we're going to see all the sands that were found in the first well above the gas water contact. And so we're going to have a thicker amount of reservoir that's pay there. So all round, a very encouraging volume. We're already commercial with what we've discovered. From now on, it's adding more volume and telling us how big a development that we need to plan for.
And is it possible to say what this could be worth to Solowal?
There's some numbers out there from brokers. You know, they're up in the $50 to $100 million range.
Wow, okay. All right, well, listen, if anyone needs any further convincing, Neil, could you give us three reasons why someone should hit the follow button on your page on Vox Markets, please?
Yeah, there's a lot of news flow coming from us over the next few months. The kinds of programs that we've been developing as a portfolio company. We're also looking at new investments coming in that period. We're looking at doing some additional investment at the seed level. So there's a couple of things there. And then finally, we're pretty unique on AIM. We're the only company looking to develop a non-operated portfolio. And so if you want to expose yourself to oil and gas, you don't want to pick your own stocks, but you want to pick projects that we are going with, then we're the stock to follow.
Marvellous, Neil. Lovely to chat to you, and I look forward to speaking to you again when you've got some more news out there.
Right, thanks, Justin. Speak to you again soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Joe Wiley, CEO of Amrit Pharma. That's AMYT ticker. Joe, thank you for joining me.
Great to be here.
Now, Joe, you've had some good bits of news out of the last few weeks, and it's seen the share price almost re-rate here from, and we'll cover those bits of news in a bit. But for people new to the podcast or haven't heard of Amrit Pharma, could you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please, Joe?
Sure. So we set up Amrit to be a company focused on developing and commercializing drugs in the rare and orphan disease space. So these are diseases which affect less than about 200,000 patients in the US or 250,000 here in Europe. Why do we do that? Because in drug development, you really want to develop drugs for the unmet need is greatest, and in these diseases, there's really no other therapy in a lot of these diseases. And also, for a small company like Amrit, the cost of doing the trials and also the cost of commercializing those products is much less than you would see in larger pharmaceutical drugs and opportunities. So we as a company can credibly develop those compounds ourselves and commercialize those compounds as well. And we have done a bunch of deals, including the recent announcements on that strategy.
Yeah, now, you've had last few bits of news, really. It came out of left field, I thought, because your lead drug there is EB, isn't it?
Yeah, so we listed the company via reverse takeover on AIM in April just this year. At that time, we acquired two companies, a company in Germany called Burton and a company in Switzerland called Somme. Somme bought an early stage product in acromegaly, but the Burton acquisition brought to us a lead asset, Episalvan, which has been approved by the EMA. And we're bringing that product forward in a rare disease called epidermolysis bullosa, which is a disease that affects children where effectively their skin is very friable. It's called butterfly children for that reason, akin to the wings of a butterfly. It's also called the worst disease you've never heard of. But these poor children on minimal trauma, such as, for example, putting on their socks, can cause blistering and ulceration of their skin. And our product, Episalvan, has shown promise in that disease, and we're very excited about bringing that forward into a phase 3 in ED starting in Q1 next year. When we listed, we raised further capital to get us through that phase 3, and also to develop our second compound, AP102, the acromegaly compound. What we announced on Friday was a deal with the European Investment Bank, which fully funded both of those two programs. So we're fully funded now on those development programs through to data, including phase 3 data in EB for lead asset Episalvan. The deal today is transformational, though. What it does is it turns us into a fully-fledged commercial pharmaceutical company, because we've done a deal today with Agerion that gives us grants us the right to sell their product Lojuxta, which was launched in Europe in 2013, and Amarus will take over that product in Europe, Middle East, North Africa, Israel, and Turkey, turning us into a cash generative business overnight and a commercial business overnight, and thereby diversifying our portfolio, and we feel de-risking from an investor perspective, de-risking the investment thesis of investing in our business, given that we will drive the growth of Lojuxta, and that will be a sustainable business.
Okay, so you have the funding, like you say, it takes through those two drugs there to, you know, clinical stage 3. And now you also have cash coming in with this transformational license deal. And so do you know the kind of money or cash you're talking about here?
So I just minor correct. We have enough money to develop our lead product, Salvan, phase 3. Development product AP102 will be brought just into the clinics to prove the concept. But in answer to your question, the RNS that we released today divulges sales of mitapide, which is what Lojuxta is. But Lomitapide is obviously not just sold in Europe, it's sold worldwide. And the sales of that product for the last quarter were 22 million, 15% which was ex-US, including our territory. So we have, and that's for a quarter. So we have a product which is, as I said, generating cash. And in our hands, this product will contribute cash to our business immediately, with significant growth potential. We think we have a large opportunity here to drive the growth. The members of the business will be very focused on driving this as our lead commercial asset now. We also happen to have a person in our business who is hugely familiar with this product, which was instrumental in negotiating this deal, in that we hired into Amarus our chief medical officer, Mark Summery, in the last number of months. And Mark was the guy who developed the Mitapide Lojuxta through to its approval in both Europe and in the US. And that gave us a real step up in terms of being able to do this deal and do it quickly, because we need this product inside out.
Excellent stuff. All right. Yes, it says there. So, people shouldn't miss that. It's for the quarter. So it achieved sales of $22 million, and 15% of that was outside of the US, and that's for the quarter. So what's that? About $3 million, I suppose, isn't it, per quarter, I suppose. Is that right? Is my maths right there?
Yeah. That would be correct. But, and that includes the charities we have. We have licensed, it's not all in the territories that we have licensed.
Okay, all right. And of course, this is agreement is up until when? January 2024, and you have the option to extend that.
Correct. So Logista has data exclusivity to 2024, and we have licensed the product until that time. However, at the end of the period, should we choose to extend the license agreement, it's in our gifts to do so, and therefore we can extend this beyond that period if we so choose. So we have the rights to sell this product for as long as Amherst feels that that's a product we would like to have in our portfolio.
Marvellous, Joe. And as far as everything else is concerned, all your other assets, are they performing as you'd like? And are you on track there?
You know, we as a business are so excited about how the business, the underlying business, has performed since we did our reverse in April and listed on AIM. When we came to the market, we said that we would develop our lead asset, Etisalvan, and get regulatory clarity and move it into phase three in Q1 next year. We are on track to do that. We, in addition, said we will bring our second product, AT102, into the clinic and get proof of concept in man, a significant value inflection for that product. We're on track to do that. We have recently announced granting of our patent for Etisalvan in the US. This comes on the back of a patent approval in Europe, so we now have patent approval in both US and Europe for our lead asset with big value driver. And then more recently, we announced that our product, 8102, received orphan status from the FDA. So, you know, in terms of the underlying value drivers of our business, we're really excited about where we are and where we're going.
Marvellous. Well, Joe, there's only one thing left to do here. And at Vox Markets every day, I cover the top five most followed companies on the website. And so could you give us three reasons why someone who's not following Amrit Pharma now should hit the follow button, please?
Sure. So I alluded to it earlier. The first reason for me is that this deal overnight, we changed transformation, and that's because overnight it turns us into a fully fledged cash generative pharmaceutical company. So we go from being a development company to a commercial company overnight. We, in addition, have our Etisalvan product, which we're moving into phase three, and that is a very large market opportunity, and there's a huge unmet need in that disease. And if we can generate positive phase three data, which top line data will be expected in 2018, that would be a very, very large opportunity for Amrit. And three, I guess, we set up this business to acquire, develop, and commercialize products in the rare and orphan disease space. We've built a team, and quality of the team you might expect to see in a much larger company than in a small company like Amrit. Both the executive team and the non-executive team. Our chairman is Harry Stratford, who was the founder of Shire. And Shire was built this way. It was built from the ground up, licensing products in, commercial products, and growing. And that is exactly the strategy we are following in the rare and orphan disease space. So we intend to add to what we have over time.
Marvellous, Joe. It's lovely to speak to you, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon when you have some more news out.
Super. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wade.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Faisal Rakhmatullah, Chairman of Plastics Capital. That's PLA ticker. Faisal, thank you for joining me again.
Pleasure.
Now, you've got your results here, your half year results out. We'll go through that in a bit. For people not aware of Plastics Capital and what you do, could you take us through a bit of a summary as to the business, please, Faisal?
Yes, of course. Well, we manufacture specialist plastic products. We mainly manufacture in the UK and export all over the world. We make a variety of different products from at one end of the scale, packaging products for the food manufacturing industry, pouches, specialist bags and films. And at the other end of the scale, we make sort of small industrial components that go into things like steering columns, white goods, CCTV and video cameras and such like. So these are bearings, plastic ball bearings. And there's a range of other products, industrial products that that sit within that range.
And geographically, Faisal, you what, in the UK and the Far East as well, is that right?
Yes, we have six factories in the UK, and we have two in Asia and one in Thailand. But the bulk of our manufacturing actually happens in the UK. We sell about half of what we do in the UK. The rest is sold overseas, exported from the UK, or is exported primarily from our Thai facility, which is the largest of our Asian factories.
Okay, so you had the your results out for the half year, ended the 30th of September. Can you take us through some of the highlights, please, Faisal, from that?
Yes, well, the sales are up 13%, which is, this is compared to the prior half year. Mm-hmm. Profitability up a little bit less than that, about 7% at PBT and EPS level. And I think, this starts to show the sort of growth that we're capable of. Organically, the revenue is up 6.7% at constant currency. And the difference between the 13 and the 6.7 is roughly half and half. A small acquisition we made during the course of the half year, and the weakening of sterling that's occurred that everyone, I'm sure, will be familiar with. The reason profitability is not up quite as much is because we've been reinvesting in business development, new products, management resources, some extra capacity, so that's reduced our bottom line profit margin a little bit relative to what we had last year and say the year before, but I think that'll start to change as we move forward and the growth continues to come through.
Yeah, and like you said, you mentioned two things there. The acquisition there, first of all, of Synpac, how is that going?
Yeah, it's been a very good acquisition. It's a lovely little business, only 4 million of turnover, so not huge in the context of the group, but a very, very neat, tidy business based up in Yorkshire. Fits very well with Flexipol, which was a business we bought about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see those two businesses working very well together in all sorts of different ways, actually. So delighted with that acquisition, actually.
And of course, you mentioned, I think last time you were on, I think sterling was an all-time low, and now it's rallying a bit. It is a roller coaster in the FX markets. How is that impacting you, Faisal?
Yes, well, it's still pretty weak in the context of where sterling has been against the dollar and euro over the years. So I think we're happy with sterling being weak. We can't build our business based on that because FX does fluctuate. But at the moment, it's enabling us to win business, which hopefully we will very much keep control of, and enabling us to attack new markets. Delighted with what's happened post Brexit. It wasn't what I expected to happen, but it's been good for the business.
Yeah, so essentially saying it's not a be-all end-all, but it's a nice bonus for you at the moment.
It's a bonus, yes, and it creates opportunity because, one of the things that happens in these sort of sophisticated engineering businesses is that winning new customers is difficult. But once you've won them and persuaded them of the quality of your products and the technical service you can provide, hanging on to customers is an awful lot easier. So this sort of window of opportunity that probably is going to, it's existed for the last 3 to 6 months, and it's probably going to last at least for another 3 to 6 months, maybe longer, does really afford opportunity for us to get into new accounts in a substantial new way. So, we're going to take as much advantage of that as we possibly can.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like, getting your foot in the door is the hardest bit. And once you can, you're allowed to prove yourself, then that's fine then, isn't it? It goes forward.
That's right. Mm. You start to build relationships. As I say, they start to, your customers start to value the technical expertise. They've got to make typically with our sorts of products, they've got to make a few changes themselves. So it has to be really worthwhile to them to do that. And once they've made those changes, they tend to stick with us, which is great.
Excellent stuff. So, in summary for this half-year report, you're happy here, everything's on track, and you're looking towards the future with a bright, spectacles on there.
Yes, I think we've had a good half year. The order book at the moment is very strong. It's the time of year when we would expect that, but even allowing for that, I'd say that the order book is good. We've got quite a lot of business to come through from projects that we've won that are not yet into production, so that's encouraging too. So I think all in all, we're happy with where the business is. And we're going to continue to invest for further growth going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you know what? The share price is looking encouraging on the chart. I mean, you know, a few months back it dipped, you know, towards 90 pence, touched that a couple of times, but now it's starting to seem that it's grinding higher there. I don't know if you ever look at a chart of the share price, but it's looking somewhat encouraging, I think, isn't it?
We look at it from time to time, not that much, but from time to time. We look at how we're doing relative to comparables as well. That's quite important for us. We do that every 2 months quite religiously. Mm. I can't pretend I understand why the share price is where it is at any particular point in time. But I think, you know, if we can grow the profitability of the business, then I think shareholders will recognise the value in the shares. I'm sure that's the way to do it.
Yeah, well, I had a guest on yesterday, and you know, they were advancing their project there, but the share price wasn't reflecting that. And someone gave him sage advice and saying, "Listen, ignore the share price. As long as you do what's right with the business, and you improve like revenue and profit, and that the share price will take care of itself." So you can't you know, control the market essentially on a short term basis. You know,
I'm sure that's right. That's
okay. Faisal, what we have at Vox Markets, a follow system there, and what I do every day on the podcast is I cover the top five most followed companies. So can you give us three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yes, well, you probably only need one reason, actually, but we'll go with three. I think the reason to follow is quite simple, that there's significantly more upside in the value of the company than there is downside. I think you can look over recent years how we've come through difficult trading conditions, and we've increased our dividend over that period, and we're now moving into a more positive external environment, and you can see upside. So I think more upside than downside by a significant measure is number one. Number two, you've got we're a winner in the Brexit situation, and I think although that's not clear at the moment, that is the case, and I think it's likely to remain the case for next year or two. And then you know, although I am part of management, I think we've got a very, very strong management team, and ultimately people is what every business is based on. And I think that's a reason to invest in Plastics Capital.
Marvellous. Lovely to chat to you again, Faisal. And hopefully we speak again soon when you have more news out.
Excellent, Justin. Nice to chat. Thanks a lot.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority, Malky. Morning, Malky. You all right, fella?
Yeah, good morning, Justin. Very well indeed, thank you.
Good. Okay, what are we chatting about? And I mean, the oil price seems to be hovering around that $50, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, the OPEC meeting that we talked about last week came out with as good an agreement as could have been possible. I know there are sceptical people around that say that it won't hold and so on, but you can only, you know, work with what you've been given at the moment. I mean, they need to keep the cutbacks in place, and if they do that, then they'll just about be okay. Any leaking, of course, and it won't look so clever. But at the moment, you've got to give it the benefit of the doubt. I think most people aren't, but I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt at the moment. And therefore, you know, with $55 for Brent crude this morning, that's very positive indeed. My end of year, we've joked about all summer, my end of year price of $60 may even still be in place.
Yeah, it could have a rally towards the end. You never know. Yeah, it's not far off.
I'm talking about Hurricane Energy, because there was a lot of activity last week in that stock, and Victoria Oil and Gas, VOG.
Okay, which one are you going with first?
Well, let's do Victoria Oil and Gas first, because they had an interesting announcement last week. The Victoria Oil and Gas is based in Cameroon in Africa, and they are a cradle to grave, i.e. they drill the wells, they find the gas, they put the pipelines down, they find the customers at the other end, mostly in Douala, the big city there, and they sell the gas to them, and they sell for power as well. So they do everything there, and it's a very interesting stock. I think it's highly underestimated, underexposed, and that the market doesn't yet know about the true value in this stock. So I'm confident that there's plenty still to come in this one. Last week they announced that they had spudded their two wells at Log Barber, which is the site of the two wells where they're going to drill for and hopefully find gas to be able to put through said pipelines and so on. And they've got some very interesting things going on here, because in my view they've got the perfect opportunity. They're drilling two wells, but they're drilling them right next to each other, about 10 metres apart, and they're on rails. So what happens is they're doing what they call batch drilling. So they have the rig at one end on a rail, and they drill and they go through the top bit and they do the necessary services and so on. Then they stop and they seal it up, and they just literally roll it along the rails 10 metres back to the other end, and they do the same. And this is incredibly efficient, because what it does is it uses all the services and the equipment and so on that they would need on site for the top bit, for both the wells. And then what will happen is that they'll get rid of all the things they need for the top part of the well, and then they'll go back and they'll do the second part and so on. So, you know, first of all, it's I'm hoping that we would expect these wells to come in. They're certainly appraisal more than exploration. And so we will have two more wells, I hope, for Victoria, being able to produce a value which I consider to be significantly above the current price. That will be an interesting program for next year. And then they'll put the gas through the pipes. They've got in Cameroon at the moment, the only time you can get proper electricity is in the rainy season, because they have hydroelectric. The rest of the time, and to be honest, most of the year, there is an unlimited demand for their gas at a significantly high price. So, you know, it's really pretty much a no-brainer. If they find more gas here, they'll sell it to whoever they like. They'll sell it to the grid. They'll sell it to the fertilizer, the Guinness company, whoever it happens to be. So I think the market has overlooked Victoria Oil and Gas, to be honest, Justin.
Yeah, but you know what? It's almost like saying it bounced down in early part of the year, where all the stocks bounced down at the start of the year this year, down to like 24 pence, but it shot back up, almost like 56 pence, and it's grinded down, but it's hitting this 30 pence level, and it's almost like forming a nice base there. But on a chart, it's never... In the last over a year now, it's never finished above that 200-day moving average, which ran about 36 pence. And you'd suggest if it gets above that and stays above that, then it's going to change the trend, you know?
Exactly right where we are at the moment. So I'm very confident there.
Yeah. Okay, let's get on to Hurricane. I had the guys on there, Alistair Stobie on a couple of times now. And he's very confident in what they're doing there. He's very excited about it.
I'm increasingly confident this is an absolutely flying stock for next year. I mean, they announced so much last week, it's not true. They hired a rig for the Halifax well. This is on the new license, which they've only just been awarded, which they think means that the Lancaster field extends northeasterly. And so they've applied for that license, got it straight away, and they've managed to hire the rig which they're using at the moment for that Halifax well. So they're obviously drilling a well at the moment. They've got the Halifax well. So that's very exciting. They also announced that they've hired the FPSO, which will be used for the early production system for the Lancaster field. They're hoping that that'll be underway quite soon. The great thing about this is that they've said that they should be able to get into production by first production, first oil by 2019. And with an FPSO now booked, that's very much in case. And the other thing is that they've said that they are now targeting the FDP, which is the Field Development Plan, might even be in by the end of this year. So, you know, they were planning that for sort of mid-2017, with the with all the other bits and pieces. So they've got everything in place. They've found the oil. They've had the discoveries on Lancaster. They're drilling at the moment. They're going on to drill on Halifax after this. They've got an FPSO for when it's all ready to rumble. All at really good prices, cracking deals, done at a time when the industry is using, you know, $30, $40, $45 prices. And of course, you know, if all goes well, that they could be coming out of it absolutely perfectly timed. You know how much I respect Dr. Trice for his hard work and his really, you know, he's been committed to this basement, fractured basement, for a long time. I think that they've got themselves into 1 billion barrels of oil now. I think they've got a fantastic looking ahead. And 1 billion barrels of oil, if the oil price, you know, stays anything like Perky, they are in such a strong position, it's not true.
Yeah, and even if you do, you know, really rough maths on that and say 1 billion barrels of oil, $10 profit per barrel, you can see. And not only that, I mean, if you look what they've, where they raised at, which is what, 34 pence, I think, was it, or something like that? I think it was...
Yeah, 15p earlier, 34p a month ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's struggled to get about 44 pence, but now it's coming back a bit, softening, and and you can't see it going materially lower than 34 pence, so it's at 38 at the moment, so it's, you know, it's like I said, with that upside, you know...
The one thing is that, you know, that shows more potential upside is there has been a seller in the market, Justin. Previously, a big holder has been trying to get out all the way up, and he's still got some stock.
Okay.
So there was, I think, a trade of 9 million shares either way at the close on Thursday, I think it was.
Wow.
Which took another 9 million of his shares out of the market. When he stops selling, I think we'll go.
Yeah. Of course, that kind of thing is, you know, it's opportunity, isn't it? Because if you know that's happening, it's a good time to a good opportunity to get in at a decent price, you know. So okay, cool. Very interesting, Malky. Go on.
Excellent. No, I think you're right there. Dead on.
Yeah, marvellous, Malky. Thanks for that, and speak next week, fella.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks very much, Justin. Bye now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website this morning. They are. At 5, Alba Minerals, ALBA. At 4, Malky covered them, Hurricane Energy, HUR. At 3, UK Oil and Gas, UCOG. At 2, this sneaked in the top 5 last week as well, actually, Innova Derma, IDP is ticker. At number 1, Neil was on the podcast earlier, it's Solo Oil and Gas, most followed company on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. All right, here are the top 5 most liked Darnesses, as released today. At 5, it's Metal Tiger. Directorate Change, MTR's ticker there. At 4, Amrit Pharma. Of course, Joe was on the podcast earlier. Their transformational license agreement. At 3, Talao Energy, TLOU, their corporate presentation. At 2, again featuring the top 5, Solo Oil, operations update in Tanzania. And at 1, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website today was from Prospect Oil and Gas, PXOG, but their onshore Poland well update, and they put some pictures there on the website, which I did actually share on social media earlier. That's it for the podcast today. Listen, I'm away for a few days, so there will be a podcast going out. It won't be a full, it'll be a light version, but there'll be some good content there, so stay tuned for that.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.